This is the Do It Scared podcast with Ruth Sukup, episode number 19. In today's episode, we are going to talk about finding your why and about why it is so important to make sure your why is bigger than your fear. Welcome to the Do It Scared podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and each week on the show, we will talk about how to face your fears, overcome obstacles, and most importantly, how to take action and create a life you love. Today's episode is brought to you by the Living Well Planner, the very best tool for managing all the pieces of your busy life and for crushing your goals. Pre-order our gorgeous new floral edition by August 31st to take advantage of our lowest price of the entire year. Plus, get two free amazing gifts with your purchase. You can get all the details at livingwellplanner.com/doitscared. Once again, order by August 31st and get all the details at livingwellplanner.com/doitscared. Hey there, and welcome back to the Do It Scared podcast. My name is Ruth Sukup, and as always, I am the founder of Living Well Spending Less and the Living Well Planner, as well as the founder of Elite Blog Academy and the New York Times bestselling author of 5, soon to be 6 books. So whether you are new and just finding me through this podcast for the very first time, or whether you've known me for a while from Living Well, Spending Less, or Elite Blog Academy, welcome. My sincerest hope is that this is a place where you will find new inspiration and new motivation to move past the things that are holding you back so that you can create a life you love. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a topic that is so important when it comes to overcoming fear that, you know, it probably should have been my very first episode. It's so important. It's about making sure that your why is bigger than your fear. And ultimately, that's exactly what this podcast is all about. It's about taking control of our own destiny in order to move past those things that are keeping us stuck and to create a life we love. Because courage doesn't mean that we're never afraid. Instead, courage is being scared but taking action anyway despite our fear. It's putting one foot in front of the other even when we're not sure where that path is going to take us. Okay, so one more quick thing before we dive into all the goodness of today's episode. I've got an awesome little download that you can grab that's going to walk you through some of the practical strategies that we're going to be talking about today. You can get it along with our show notes by visiting doitscared.com/episode19. Once again, that's doitscared.com/episode19. And with that out of the way, let's dive in because this is an important one. So in 2014, you may know this already, I founded Elite Blog Academy to help teach other people how to create their own successful, profitable online businesses. And in the years since, ABA has been open for about 5 years now. It has helped nearly 10,000 students in 60 countries worldwide complete the course. It has been pretty incredible to watch, I have to tell you that. But I have to say that one of the best things, the very best things about mentoring other entrepreneurs and online business owners is being able to watch the incredible transformation that happens when someone takes an idea, often an idea that everyone else thinks is a little bit crazy, and turns it into something real and tangible, whether that be a product or a business or even a ministry or a social movement. There is a moment where people realize that they really can do far more than they ever believed that they are capable of. And honestly, I don't think that there is anything more exciting or more gratifying. That said, having had this front row seat to so many of these awe-inspiring transformations, I am always struck by the one simple thing that they all seem to have in common. It's a why that is bigger than themselves. This was definitely true for Jennifer Marks, who I mentioned a couple of episodes ago. She was a single mom who needed to find a new way to earn a living when it became obvious that the travel guide industry she had worked in for 20 years was quickly becoming obsolete. As her income tanked, she was desperate to find a new way to work from home so that she could be there for her son, who was going through a rough time. On the verge of losing her house and sinking deeper into debt every single month, she used her last credit card to purchase the EBA course. And then she put every ounce of effort into completing it and growing her online business. Within a year, she was earning more than $20,000 a month from her site, jennifermaker.com, and she was able to pay off her debt and save her family in the process. Carolyn Vincel believed that she had completely ruined her life when at just 18, she unexpectedly became a teenage mom. Until then, she had always dreamed of becoming a CEO of some massive company and taking the world by storm. Instead, she ended up getting married, dropped out of school, and then had two more kids in quick succession. But she saw the potential to start an online business as a chance to redeem herself and to create a better life for her family. Just like with Jennifer, Carolyn's big why drove her to put everything she had into completing her coursework. Within months, the revenue from her website, carolynvincel.com, had surpassed her husband's income, and she had completely changed the trajectory of her family's life as the CEO of her own successful company. Or Tasha Agrusso, who you met in episode 14, a super stressed out corporate lawyer who spent long hours defending medical malpractice lawsuits. The money was good, but the pressure was brutal, and she wanted to find a way to stay home with her three-year-old twins, the miracle babies that had taken her more than 5 years to conceive. And so, even though she had almost no spare time in her schedule, she decided to go for it anyway. She spent every spare moment she had working on her home decorating website, Lawyer Trapped in a Designer's Body. And within 16 months, she was making more money through her website than as a partner in her law firm. She gave up her partnership and she walked away from the practice of law and hasn't looked back since. In the end, Jennifer, Carolyn, and Tasha succeeded in creating successful online businesses because their why was bigger than their fear. Yes, they had to work very, 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 very hard. Don't make any mistake about that. They also had to take risks and try new things, and they had to get up early and stay up late. And I am sure there were many, many times they were frustrated or discouraged or when they felt like giving up. But it was their why that kept them going. And I can relate to all of those stories because when I first started, my why was exactly what kept me going as well. I set a goal to make enough money that my husband, Chuck, would be able to quit his job. But the reason that goal was so important to me was because I knew his job was killing him. He was miserable. I can't even describe how miserable he was. And every day I would watch him come home a little more defeated, a little more despondent, and a little more beaten than the day before. I knew he felt trapped. And we had always agreed between the two of us that one of us would stay home with our kids. And the problem was that as an aerospace engineer, he made a lot more money than I ever had. And it was that why that motivated me to learn everything I possibly could about blogging and growing an online business. It was that why that drove me to wake up at 3 a.m. and sometimes a lot of times even earlier every single day for more than 3 years to work while my kids were asleep so that I could still be a mom during the day. And it was that why that kept me going even when it was hard and even when it was confusing and the tech stuff made me crazy and I got frustrated and when things went wrong. It was that why that pushed me to step way outside my comfort zone and try things that scared the crap out of me, like making videos and going on TV and attending conferences and then even speaking at conferences. And it was that why that ultimately built my business. The best way, maybe the only way, to motivate yourself to do hard things, to stretch outside your comfort zone, and to persevere even when the going gets tough is to get crystal clear about your why. It won't necessarily make things easier, but it will make the pain worth it. And sometimes that's enough. And so when it comes to your goals, do you know your big why? Do you know what is driving you and what is bringing purpose to your life? Do you know what is worth fighting for? And how can you use that motivation to get you where you want to be? Find your why and the rest will fall into place. Of course, that might be easier said than done, right? Or maybe not. Because as it turns out, there are actually some very concrete things you can do, steps you can take to help you identify your why. The first is to manufacture a catalyst. Now, I've mentioned a few times before that I am currently working on a new book called Do It Scared and that it will be released next May of 2019. And as part of the research for that book, I've surveyed more than 4,000 people about the role of fear in their lives. And as part of that in-depth study on fear, my research team and I have discovered that without fail, every single story of overcoming adversity or conquering fear also identified a catalyst for overcoming that fear, some sort of reason why that motivated the respondent to take action. And we found this discovery pretty intriguing, and the realization that every act of courage is preceded by a distinct catalyst prompted us to want to dig a little deeper to see if there might be a way to categorize these catalysts in a way that was useful. And in the end, we realized that all of the different catalysts could be boiled down to 5 major categories, which included 1, a trauma, a tragedy, or major life event; 2, an outside opportunity, something coming from someone else; 3, accountability or encouragement; 4, inspiration or education; and 5, sick of the status quo or making a conscious choice to change. Ultimately, we determine that, for the most part, those catalysts are spread out on a continuum that ranges from external factors, events or circumstances that are completely outside of your control, to internal factors, choices that you intentionally make or circumstances that you do control. So, for instance, on the external side of the spectrum, an outside catalyst could include a traumatic event or tragedy, something that happened to you that spurred you to take action. On the opposite internal side of the spectrum, the internal catalyst might simply be a conscious choice to act and to not let fear stand in your way. But where it gets really interesting to me is the range of catalysts that fall somewhere in the middle, those catalysts that are a combination of intentionality and circumstance, of work and luck, of playing the hand you are dealt and letting the chips fall where they may. These include things like opportunities, which often come from the outside, but are also somewhat dependent on going out and creating your own luck and your own opportunities. This also includes accountability, which can happen both intentionally and inadvertently, as well as inspiration or instruction, which requires both a giver and a receiver in order for it to work. So, why does all of this matter when it comes to overcoming fear? Well, essentially, it matters because it shows that we have more control than we think we do when it comes to manufacturing catalysts that can motivate us to push past our fear. Not all of us have the willpower or the drive to just decide to overcome some massive fear, although we are certainly in control of that. But we can intentionally seek out inspiration and accountability and better opportunities. Thus, if you are having trouble connecting with your bigger why or having trouble finding the motivation to follow through or to push past your hesitations, it can be really helpful to start by putting some safeguards in place that will keep you connected to that sense of purpose. If you're trying to work up the courage to start a business, your manufactured catalyst might be as simple as listening to an inspirational or entrepreneurial podcast every morning, something like Do It Scared, for instance. something that will keep spurring you to take action. If you're trying to reach a weight loss goal, your catalyst might be hiring a trainer or joining Weight Watchers in order to have more accountability. If you're trying to go for a promotion at work, your catalyst might be to start to create more opportunities by taking the initiative to ask your boss for more responsibility. If the why feels too hard right now, then focus on creating an environment around you that will set you up for success. You might not have control over every circumstance in your life, but you do have control over far more than you realize. So put those safeguards in place and manufacture the catalyst that you know will eventually lead to change. And that's the first step. Manufacture a catalyst. The next step in finding your why is to connect with the larger purpose. So not long ago, I set a goal to be in the best shape of my life by my 40th birthday. Having spent 8 years focused on growing my business and spending nearly every waking hour in front of a computer screen, I had slowly watched my weight creep up on the scale, assisted by a not so healthy diet, of which Doritos and beer were two major food groups. And I knew that something had to give. And guys, it wasn't that I hadn't recognized the problem or even that I hadn't sporadically tried to lose weight over the years. I tried the cabbage soup diet, the GM diet, the fat flesh diet, the fast metabolism diet, the zero belly diet, among others. The easy gimmicky ones usually resulted in a quick weight loss that I always gained back. And the other ones were just way too complicated and time consuming for me to stick with for more than a few days. And so I started telling myself that growing my business was my priority and that I didn't have time to focus on losing weight or exercising or trying to eat healthy. I tried desperately to convince myself that the weight gain wasn't that bad and that because I was so tall, it probably wasn't even that noticeable. But as I talked about in episode 11, where I talked about this whole saga of losing weight, deep down, I was becoming more and more uncomfortable in my own skin. I started to avoid looking in the mirror and began pulling away from my husband, not wanting him to see me without any clothes on. And at work, I stopped putting myself out there as well. I said no to media opportunities. I avoided video. I avoided photography. I stopped posting pictures of myself on social media. And I had begun to believe that I was never going to be able to lose the weight. And I started to give up trying. But then something happened. I went on a personal retreat in November, and I spent 5 days reading, writing, and reflecting on what was happening in my life and what was happening in my business and what I really wanted. And I had a couple of big epiphanies. The first was that my marriage was not doing well. I was hiding from everyone, including my husband, and we were really struggling as a result. Second, my business was not doing well. A large part of my success was a direct result of my ability to connect with people and to just be real, and I was no longer doing that. And for the first time ever, I realized that the way that I felt about my physical self was directly related to my bigger, far more important, and far more motivating goals of having a great marriage and a successful business. And as soon as I was able to connect that goal of losing weight and getting in better shape to a higher purpose, I was able to find the motivation to stick with it. Now, keep in mind that knowing my why and connecting to a higher purpose didn't make losing the weight any easier. I still had to actually do the work of watching my calories and working out, even when I didn't feel like it. I still had to put safeguards in place, safeguards that I talked about in episode 11, like hiring a trainer to hold me accountable and signing up for a meal delivery service that made choosing healthy options a whole lot easier. I still had to choose to stop eating Doritos. And most of the time, it wasn't fun. It's still not fun because I hate exercise and I really, really like Doritos. But connecting to that higher purpose did keep me going and keeps me going even now when things get hard. It reminds me that the sacrifices I am making are worth it and that the pain I am feeling now will pay off in the end. Your own larger purpose might not have anything to do with yourself. Your motivation might be driven by a sense of responsibility or obligation to your family or to your friends or to a cause that you believe in deeply. Maybe you feel called by God and that your purpose is really just to be obedient. Maybe your motivation is wanting to be financially independent so that you can finally feel free. Maybe you just want to make a difference in the world. Whatever that purpose, find it and connect to it. That's step two. And then finally, step three is to keep your why top of mind. Once you've connected to your higher purpose, it is critically important to keep that why of yours top of mind and to keep reminding yourself what matters most over and over and over again. Because, oh my goodness, it is so easy to forget, especially when things get hard or when you get hungry. And make no mistake, things will get hard because anytime you are pursuing a big goal or pushing past your comfort zone or facing a fear or about to do something really important or really great, that is exactly when things start to get difficult and awkward and painful and very, very, very real. For me, it's not enough to connect to my higher purpose just once. I've had to remind myself daily, every single morning, of exactly why this goal of losing weight matters so much to me. I've had to remember how it will impact my marriage and think about all the things that I want for my business and remind myself that getting in better shape is the first step on that path. It doesn't make me crave Doritos any less, but it does help me stay strong sometimes. And when I get back on track, it helps me get back on track when I do give in to temptation. And for you, it might mean writing out your why in a place that you can refer back to frequently, in a journal or your planner, or perhaps even on a whiteboard in your office. Maybe you'll need to create an inspiration board, a visual representation of your why, or just post a picture that reminds you of your higher purpose. It could be as simple as posting an affirmation on your bathroom mirror, something you read every morning as you brush your teeth, or it could be all of the above. The point is to make sure that you are doing everything in your power to continually connect to your why and to keep that higher purpose top of mind. It should be something that you refer back to daily, even multiple times a day if you have to. It should be the first thing that you think about in the morning and the very last thing that you think about at night. That way, when the going gets tough, you'll be prepared and equipped to keep moving forward. No matter what. Make no mistake, going after big goals and dreams is hard. It's scary and frustrating and sometimes even miserable. There will be so many times where you feel like giving up, and that is exactly why you need to be so clear about your why. And to find your why, try these things. First, manufacture a catalyst. You might not be able to invent a crisis, but you can certainly add more accountability or inspiration to your life. So do that. Second, connect to a larger purpose. What's the bigger reason behind that desire? Who are you doing this for? And finally, keep that why top of mind. Remind yourself every single day. Do whatever you have to stay focused. Okay, so don't forget that if you would like the show notes for this episode or the worksheet that goes along with this podcast that will walk you through everything we just talked about, you can download it at doitscared.com/episode19. Once again, that's doitscared.com/episode19. And then before we go, I just want to say that I would absolutely love to hear you. I love, 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 love getting emails from listeners. I love hearing your stories. I love hearing the questions that you have and answering the questions that you have. I love just knowing who you'd like me to interview and feeling like this is making a difference in your life. So please email me. You can go to doitscared.com, just fill out the form, and I love to hear from you. And that about does it for this episode of the Do It Scared with Ruth Sukup podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you liked what you heard, please, I would be so grateful if you would leave a review on iTunes, or you can leave a review on Facebook, and then go to doitscared.com to submit a screenshot of your review for a chance to win fabulous Do It Scared merchandise. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe via iTunes or Google Play or wherever you prefer to listen. And speaking of upcoming episodes, be sure to join me next week as we chat with the hilarious and super brilliant Mike Michalowicz, author of several best-selling books, including Profit First, which is a complete game changer, and his latest book, Clockwork. Mike has such a great story to tell, and he is also incredibly funny and completely real, which makes me love him even more. And I'm pretty sure that you will love him too, so be sure to tune in. It is a good one. I will catch you then.